Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
In 1968, WBCN-FM in Boston introduced underground rock to New England. Then, as a parade of colorful characters passed by its microphones for 41 years, WBCN attained iconic status as one of the most important American radio stations in history. A history of the radio station has now been written by Carter Allen, a WBCN DJ for 19 years. The title of the book is Radio Free Boston, The Rise and Fall of WBCN, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Carter Allen to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Sure, thank you. My pleasure.
After the dust has settled a little bit, have you figured out what happened to WBCN, of why ultimately it went off the air?
Yeah, it was a case of over time, the station's image got clouded and muddied. Howard Stern was on in the morning. They were playing music in the midday. They had Opie and Anthony on in the afternoon and the Patriots on in the weekend. And people didn't really know what to listen to WBCN for. And that often happens with Howard Stern stations. You get this schizophrenic entity where the people that listen to Howard Stern don't listen to the rest of the station and vice versa. It's very hard to keep the station going in a situation like that.
With that said, Howard Stern, I know, was really one of the first to, when he was on satellite radio, talk about the death of BCN. He, of course, was a Boston University student, and the station meant a lot to him as a resident of the city for a short time. What do you think it is about the changing face of radio that would bring that around?
Well, no fault of Howard Stern. He was just very good at what he did. I know that he listened to BCN when he was a student, and he held Charles Lacordaire, who did the morning show at BCN and whom he replaced. He held Charles in high regard. It's just a function of what Stern did. His presentation was so riveting that his listeners really didn't have any desire to listen to anything else at the radio station. So it does speak, though, to the specialization of radio over the years, where suddenly you couldn't really be everything to everybody anymore. You were basically choosing your territory and your ground and concentrating on it. One of the reasons why the news department at WBCN, which was so prominent for so many years, was phased out in the 90s. So many stations had gone over to programming exclusively news, and how do you compete with that? So definitely the age of specialization affected the station greatly.
As we mentioned, the station was on some 41 years. You were there for 19. What was your era?
I got there in 1979, which was just after the BCN strike, and the station was around since 1968, so 11 years after. And then I was there as a DJ and music director till 1998. So the era pretty much for me was those 80s years, and then the introduction of grunge music, and through that entire period to 98 before I left, alternative music. So pretty wide range of style came through while I was at the station, for sure.
It's interesting because in the book you talk to both the voices of the station, of those who were there, as well as the artists who this station was huge for them.
Yeah, that was the great thing about WBCN, is that we had a chance to interact with the musicians, you know, from the get-go. These bands would come through at, you know, it was a very young entity that nobody knew. You know, people were talking about, like Aerosmith and Bruce Springsteen, even Led Zeppelin, although some of those folks, obviously Jimmy Page was known, but the band was brand new. U2 is a good example. And some of the bands, you know, that didn't become as famous as those bands, you know, bands like the Psychedelic Furs, the station got behind and you got a chance to interact with them from the very beginning. So as those bands became more famous, the relationship just deepened, and the artists would continue to come back to the station and support the station. It was a privilege, it really was. And to be involved with a band like U2 from the very beginning to their globetrotting platinum stadium success is just an amazing thing.
When you think about the impact that the station had on rock and roll radio as a whole, how much of that story do you think is a Boston story?
I understand what you're saying. Some stations were affected by us, certainly in the market. But in a couple of examples, particularly how Charles Lacordaire transformed the morning show into kind of a morning zoo format, which nobody was really doing outside of AM Top 40. He parodied that approach. And a lot, that affected a lot of FM rock stations across the country because pretty much everyone had just a mellow morning show presentation just with music. And things started to tighten up as far as having co-hosts, having the weather, having the news, having the traffic, and doing it with a smile on your face. So in an example like that, the effect across the country was profound. I think when we were adding music, especially when I was, I noted this when I was the music director in 1987 when I started doing that job, if BCN would add an artist, a song from an artist, say like the Psychedelic Furs, you could see stations all across the country going on it. It was almost like we were, we had the angle on on what was going to happen. Well, we were just using our instincts and, using our gut, but a lot of people based what they were going to do on what BCN was doing.
When BCN went off the air in 2009, what void do you think it left?
Well, in this area, it certainly left a great void with just the music it was playing at the time and the personality. WFNX, which was playing alternative music exclusively, went off the air a couple of years later. And so now in Boston, we don't really have a station playing new music right in the center of the city. And that's a tragic loss. A lot of people, they can go to other places. They can go to the internet. They can go to Pandora. But it's a shame that there isn't a radio station you can really listen to while you're driving in your car or whatever on the radio in Boston. As far as the country as a whole, I think it was just tragic that a legendary station like that, which had held a banner or so many banners aloft for so long, it's just such a shame that the station was silenced. It was kind of a beacon. It was an inspiration to a lot of people. And, that having that gone, you just hope that stations like WXRK and XRT, rather, in Chicago, which carries a banner for years and years playing, alternative and progressive music, you hope that a station like that will continue and not end up like WBCN.
You alluded to this earlier, but I'm curious to talk about it a little bit more, and that is, when WBCN became the New England Patriots Rock Radio Network, did that help or hurt the station overall, do you think?
I don't know if it hurt it so much. I think, the schizophrenic nature I was talking about earlier, I think it was really, it was Howard Stern and it was the music image of the station at odds and with separate audiences. Having the Patriots on Sunday really only affected Sunday. Unless there was a Thursday night game or Monday night football, of course. But most of the time, it was just on Sunday. And with your pregame and your postgame, it could go to 8 hours as far as programming goes. But Sunday programming, the ratings were never as great as on the rest of the week. So it did bring listeners to the radio station on Sundays. And, you hope that some of those listeners driving home after the game would leave their radio on WBCN so they'd hear Charles Lacordaire in the morning, on Monday morning when they're heading on into work. So I think football wasn't necessarily a negative. It might have been a positive in that regard.
How much of BCN's story is a story of independent radio as a whole?
Well, it's very much a story of independent radio. It was very much an independent personality for so long. And it wasn't even owned by a corporation until much later. And that corporation became larger and larger. The company grew along and became more or less just a part of Infinity and then CBS Westinghouse and then Viacom. So the independence was lost. And as long as the station is doing pretty well, even in a corporate environment, as long as you're doing well and you're paying the bills and making money for the company, pretty much you're left alone. And that's what happened at BCN. We were pretty much left alone. It was only later on when the station had started having problems with its ratings that the company gets directly involved. And it's hard because you're no longer a mom-and-pop entity. You know, you always have to root your decisions through corporate. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing because you could have a great corporate partnership and people who are dedicated to helping to solve your problems. But it could also be a problem as well when you don't get the immediate response.
I find it fascinating. I mean, you left 10 years before its ultimate decline, but you still have a soft place in your heart for the place, for the station.
I think so. It stayed creative for so long. And indeed, even when it ended, there were people on that radio station who were completely dedicated to being creative and doing the best job they could. They might have inherited a broken ship, but they were just as into and involved in that radio station as I was when I was there. It was hard for me to, I really had to work on being objective in the book, and I know that my subjectivity and love of the radio station peaks through on occasions. I do my best to be objective by interviewing as many people as possible and doing the research, but it was hard. I definitely have a soft spot for WBCN, and I miss it.
The name of the book is Radio Free Boston, The Rise and Fall of WBCN. The book is published by Northeastern University Press. Carter Allen, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you again.
Thank you. Again, it's Radio Free Boston, The Rise and Fall of WBCN. It's published by Northeastern University Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.